This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you all doing?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted us to make it through to the weekend during this month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the efforts. It's not easy. I know everyone is feeling very tired and struggling to keep your eyes open. But subhanallah, this is part of increasing in the rewards. And we said it's only 30 days. 8 of them already, basically, or 7 of them done. Only another maybe 21, 22 days left. And that is the distance between us and Jannah, inshaAllah. Just give us that little effort, that extra effort, whatever we have in the tank, inshaAllah, we want to get there to Jannah. Ameen. We continue with our series, this tafsir of Juz Amma, or the end of the surahs of Juz Amma, to connect and get the appreciation of the Quran. And tonight, inshaAllah, we'll be discussing the 95th surah, Surah At-Teen, the surah of the fig. The surah of the fig. And let's recap one of the two things that we've learnt so far. We've mentioned the vows, the qasams, like wal-layli, wal-shamsi, wal-duha. When Allah vows, Allah swears by these things. Allah is saying, I swear by the sun, by the moon, by the heavens, by the earth. And usually what comes after it? What we call the jawab, the answer of the vow. So for example, if someone says, I swear, we're waiting, you swear what? Right? It's just, I just say wallahi something. So it's very important to understand that, because the vows in this surah are a bit confusing. And the ulama struggle to understand, why did Allah choose these things to swear by? And I want you to take off your kufiyas and put on your tafsir thinking caps to try and, I want you to think about these vows. Allah selected a few things to swear by. Allah swore by this, that, and the other. Why did He choose that? So, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Allah begins, وَالتِّينِ وَالزَّيْتُونَ. I swear by the fig and by the olive. I swear by these two fruits, the fig and the olive. And these two fruits on their own are mentioned in the Sunnah and in the Quran even as being blessed. Surah An-Nur, Allah speaks about a blessed tree and this being an olive tree and the oil that comes from it. So these fruits on their own are blessed, and perhaps Allah chose these two or mentioned these two fruits because that they have a high place, they are fruits from Jannah and there is purity in that. That's one view. But the majority says there is a deeper meaning to that. So on their own, by the fig and by the olive, Allah takes a vow by these two things. So let's move on to the next ayah. وَالتِّينِ وَالزَّيْتُونَ, by the fig and the olive. وَتُورِ سِينِينَ, and I swear by Mount Sinai. وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينَ, and I swear by this sacred or safe city. So the sacred and safe city is Makkah. The surah is revealed in Makkah. So Allah vows by four things. By the fig, the olive, Mount Sinai, and Mecca. What do these four things have in common? What is the relationship between them? Does anyone have an idea? What could be, what is the purpose Allah selected these things? Definitely Mecca, we know the significance of Mecca, alhamdulillah. What's the significance of Mount Sinai? Afwan? No, but that's a very important point to remember. That's the answer to something else. Right? It's a correct answer to the wrong question. Mount Sinai is where Nabi Musa والسلام, got a revelation. Right? Turi Sina or Turi Sinin. This is the place where Allah sent His revelation to Nabi Musa. So the latter two, the place where Nabi Musa got a revelation, Makkah where the Prophet received the revelation. Now is there perhaps a link between the first two, the fig and the olive? And the Ibn Abbas, and this goes back to the oldest of Mufassirin, they said, well, the olive grove, what do we know about olives? Where do they come from? Palestine. So the olives, we know, is synonymous with Palestine. And this even in the Bible, you'd find in the Injil that Nabi Isa made Salah in the olive grove. And even till today, the olive groves are there. The Mount of the Olives, it's still there in Palestine. And the fruit, the olive, is synonymous with Jerusalem. So now if we say, we've got three cities, we've got three locations, Mecca, Palestine and Mount Sinai. What about the fig? And the ulama mentioned that the place that you find figs is, as the brother mentioned, Mount Judi, the place where the ark, Nabi Nuh's ark, came to settle. So Allah mentions in the Quran that the ark of Nabi Nuh settled on Mount Judi, and this is a place which you find figs. So Allah is basically mentioning these two fruits synonymous with this place. For example, if I were to say, by the Kusista and the Bani Chow, right? Then you know, you're talking about Cape Town and Durban, right? Similarly, Allah is saying, by the fig and the olive. And the tafsir, and this is, goes back to the oldest of Mufassirin, not modern tafsir. The oldest of Mufassirin, even if you open Ibn Kathir, you'll find it. Many of them say that the fig is synonymous with Mount Judi, where the ark settled. The olive is synonymous with Jerusalem. Mount Sinai is where Nabi Musa received the revelation, and Mecca, of course, being where the Prophet ﷺ received the revelation. And these four locations are synonymous with four prophets or five prophets. And these five prophets, there's a relationship between them. They're called the Ulul Azm. So you have Nabis, prophets. Then the elite of the Anbiya are called Rusul, messengers. And the best of the messengers, the best of the best, are five. The five Ulul Azm, the five greatest men that walked the face of the earth. Nabi Nuh, Nabi Ibrahim, Nabi Musa, Nabi Isa, and Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these locations, Mount Judi for Nabi Nuh, Jerusalem for Nabi Isa, Mount Sinai for Nabi Musa, Jerusalem for Nabi Isa, and Mecca for Nabi Ibrahim and Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the tafsir, the mufassirin, say that these four things Allah is vowing actually by these four prophets. Why? Why would He mention these four men? Now remember, we said the vow is not important, it's what follows the vow. The verse that comes next is what these four things should link up to. But before I get to that verse, I want to talk a little bit about human psychology. I want to talk about psychology. And we got a bit of psychology in Surah Al-Shams and Surah Al-Layl, where Allah basically says, I've given you enough that is balanced, and that it knows what is right and wrong. And if you keep to what is right, what your nafs knows is right, and you protect it, then you'll be successful. But this nafs also has the ability to become corrupt and to become impure. And who does and allows his nafs to become impure, then he will be lost. Psychology is the study, originally the word psychology was the study of the soul. Today psychology is the study of the mind. And if you look at modern psychology, how psychology, it's the study of us people and what it has evolved from. So initially, the psychologists from the Greeks, the Indians, the Chinese, the Arabs, they were concerned with the soul. They said, this body is not really what makes us special, it's the ruh inside. But over the past 100 years, 200 years, science has basically separated between the body and thrown away the concept of the soul. And today, psychologists will tell you, basically, what are we? We are a bunch of chromosomes, evolved animals, and we only, our objective and our focus is animalistic. That there is no higher purpose, there's no higher power, there's no God or afterlife. Everything you do is basically an evolved sense of an animal. That you want to look beautiful because you want to procreate. That you want to work hard to get money so that you can be the alpha male or you could feed yourself. This is what psychology today teaches us. That we are just here, evolved animals, like Darwin said, well basically we evolved monkeys. And our position on earth is just to be here for a few years. There's no focus of the afterlife, so you might as well make the most of what you can in this world, and that's the end of it. That's modern psychology. And that's where we are today as human beings. We are at the most advanced state that we have been in terms of science and technology, but in terms of understanding ourselves, wallahi, we have gone back. And if we look at today, we may claim to be, are we really the most advanced creatures on this planet? When we look at our track record, we destroy this planet. If you look at the news, what we do to girls and women, subhanallah, animals don't do these things. And what we're doing to our environment, what we're doing to each other, how we're killing one another in the Middle East, animals don't do this. And what is this link between what I'm talking about and the surah? So Allah mentions the five greatest men that walk the face of the earth, the most perfect of individuals. And then Allah swears basically by them. And then the next ayah Allah says, لَقَدَ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. That surely I swear that I have created mankind or human beings in the very best of stature. In the most perfect of stature. Now this is big words coming from the creator of the heavens and the earth. The one who made the planets, the moons, the suns, the angels, Jibreel, he said, I have made man the very best, top of the food chain of all my creations. We know that Nabi Adam was in fact made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's own hands in a manner which befits his majesty. Now the ulama, and from this ayah, and we're going to digress now, there's two tafsirs that flow through till the end of the ayah, end of the surah. When Allah says that He created man in the best of stature and form, is Allah speaking about the physical body of man or something additional to him, his soul, his ruh? What do you think? Right? And both will be applicable. So one group of mufassireen said, Allah is talking about man's physical stature being perfect, being the best model or the best type of creation that Allah subhanahu has created. The other group of mufassireen says, no, Allah is talking about the ruh. And they mention that Allah created Nabi Adam, and Nabi Adam stood like a statue, our father Adam, clay statue in Jannah for a long period of time. But when Allah blew the soul into Nabi Adam, that's when Allah said to the angels, make sujood to Nabi Adam. And if Jibreel is making sujood to man, then by extension the whole universe is subservient to this great creation of Allah. So Allah says, I made man in the most perfect and best of statures, either spiritually or physically. There's two opinions here. ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. Then we rejected him, we rebuffed him. Rad is to reject. If someone makes a statement and I say I give a rad, I reject that. ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. Then man did something, man in general, that Allah rejected him to the lowest of the low. Now we need to follow these two opinions. And I know it's a bit heavy, but you can sleep late tomorrow. So the previous ayah, Allah says, I created man in the best of statures. If you say it's physical, Allah is talking about the physical stature. Then the next ayah, Allah is saying, then we return him to the lowest of the low. This group of mufassireen said, Allah is referring to your age as you progress, and then you become frail and die. So you started off strong and powerful, and then we returned you to the low place, and then you passed away in a weak old age. And then the second opinion is that we took man and made him lofty in his spirituality. We've given him this ruh, this intellect, which is above any other creation. But he doesn't use that ruh correctly. He doesn't use his intellect correctly. He corrupts it and himself, so he goes to the bottom of the pile, even worse than the animals. As Allah says, بَلْهُمْ أَضَلْ. They are like an'am. They are like animals. Instead, they are worse than animals. And like we said, there are things that we do as insan that animals don't do. That we've turned off this amazing CPU Allah put in us. We've turned it off and went to our lower self. The next ayah continues with these two themes. So Allah says, all of you, all of us, we go to that low state. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فَلَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. All of you will be returned or go or rejected and go to this low state, except the one that believes in Allah and in the afterlife. And they do good deeds, physical deeds that are good. And those who do that, فَلَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. If we say the physical stature of man is what Allah is talking about, so Allah is saying that I made you physically perfect, then Allah made you low in terms of your age and made you weak, and you will die. Except the one who believes in the afterlife and does good deeds, then those good deeds will remain forever. That he will not be stuck with time. That all of us, we've got an expiration date on our bodies. But Allah says the one who believes and does good deeds, then his reward will continue forever. This ayah, where do we find a similar ayah like this? And usually people make mistakes in this. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Where? Suratul Asr. So if the first view is about time, that you are subject to time, and we find the surah, this ayah in Suratul Asr. SubhanAllah. That's when we talk about the physical body. If we talk about the ruh, that the base of stature is your ruh, and that when you turn off your nafs, you turn off your intellect and you go down low, Allah says the only one who will be saved from becoming basically the criminals we see on TV, the corrupt, the worst of the worst that we see in the news, the only ones who will be saved are those who are mindful that there's an akhirah, there's a life after this, that I need to do good with people. And if you do that, you will have a reward that is unending, meaning Jannah. So Allah says, فَمَا يُكَذِّبُكَ بَعْدُ الدِّينِ. After you think about this, how can you really reject the afterlife? How can you reject the day of judgment? Why? If you look at the earth and the world and you realize I am in my 20s, in 50 years time I'll be in my 70s, I might be in my grave. Do I really think the story ends there? And if I look at this world and I see the best of people and the worst of people, do I really think when those two people die and they be buried next to each other, it's going to end there? No, cannot end there. The story doesn't... Just inside of us it feels there must be more than that. So Allah is saying, when you look at these two extremes, the best of the best and the worst of the worst, do you think it just ends in this life? How can you really logically believe that you are here for 50, 60, 70 years and that's it? And your actions will not come back. You won't be judged according to your actions. So can you really logically, in your fitrah, whoever you are, even the atheist, do you really believe the story is going to end there? Do you feel safe? How can you then deny the life after death? أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ. And on that day, if you believe in Judgment Day, then who is better to judge mankind than Allah, the Most Just, who made you and He knows your potential? I saw the statement. They said it will be enough of a punishment for you to see the potential you could have been on Qiyamah. Allah will show you, this is the man you could have been, the woman you could have been. You had the potential to be this, but this is what you really ended up being. And based on that, Allah knows how it will be the best to judge us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the surah shows the height that man can achieve, the ulul azm, the anbiya, and we just need to look at our world today to see that we have gone to the lowest of the low. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us and protect us. Maybe that's why the rain isn't coming. Maybe that's why there's general calamity across the world, because we have gone to our base, lower self, gone to the lowest of the low. But of course, as Allah says, not all of you, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. The answer is, you believe in Allah and the afterlife, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And you do good deeds. And good deeds here mean physical good deeds. You are a good person. Not just your salah and your ibadah, but you feed people, you build schools, you help people, you are kind to one another. You do that, then Allah raises you up to that level of the best of the best. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us to be of the best. And when we stand before Allah on the day of Qiyamah and He weighs us, we will be weighed. That we are weighed according to our true worth and value and not what we fail to achieve in this dunya. Ameen. Tomorrow inshaAllah, we will discuss Surah Al-Alaq, the very first surah to be revealed, the very first of revelation that the Prophet ﷺ received. We'll talk about that. And we continue with our quiz. Last night we said, we asked which surah is linked to Surah Wadduha, or Surah Al-Alam Nashrah. What is linked with that? And we said it's Surah Wadduha. Wadduha and Alam Nashrah are linked up with one another. And then today's question, where did Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam receive revelation? Where did he receive revelation? Did he receive revelation in Mecca, at Mount Sinai, in Medina, or in Palestine? Where did Nabi Musa receive revelation? Insha'Allah, fill the answer. And tomorrow evening, we'll have our lucky draw, and there will be prizes to be won, insha'Allah. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa salam mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.